Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're always online at npr.org. So, you know, the other day, we were sitting around the Bryant Park offices and we were saying, hey, why don't we do some sort of segment where we talk about things that people are only lightly interested in, things that are, you know, not getting so much buzz. We'll call it the sum or the eh. And then I think it was Trish McKinney.
The sum.
Yeah. And then I think it was either Trish McKinney or perhaps a mystical gnome who chimed in and said, no. We'll talk about things everyone's emailing to each other, and we'll call it the most.
Brilliant. So I'm going to go first. This is one of the most emailed on the New York Times website, and it's about how things are getting a little bit stricter in Russia. Vladimir Putin is apparently cracking down on any church that's not his. And his church is the Russian Orthodox Church. And this is, I mean, under communism, all churches were persecuted. All religion was forced underground, especially Russian Orthodox. So now, in an effort to kind of reinvigorate that church, he's decided to ban all other religions, apparently. Not an outright
right.
ban, but basically...
That's how they do things, not an outright.
Yeah, ban, not an yeah. outright, just a little right.
It just, you know, might be best if you...
If you maybe came to the Russian Orthodox
Church. Yeah.
Apparently some, especially in the rural parts of Russia, especially Protestant denominations have been shut down. People arrested, told to dissolve their congregations. And apparently on local television last month, the chief Russian Orthodox priest in this particular town, who's aligned with Putin, came out and publicly denounced Protestants as heretics. He said, quote, "We deplore those who are led astray, those Jehovah's Witnesses, Baptists, Evangelicals, Pentecostals, and many others who cut Christ's robes like bandits, who are the soldiers who crucified Christ, who ripped apart Christ's holy coat." Ouch. So
yeah,
Russia is a tough place to be.
Number three most emailed story on the New York Times.
And I think it's Russian Orthodox Easter this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there
Happy
you go.
Easter.
Happy Easter.
To all you people
Trish,
practicing
what do you got?
In the basement.
I am the mystical gnome in the control room, Trisha McKinney. I have one of the most viewed stories on MSNBC, and it's actually an update of a story we did in the most back in February. So do you remember the story of a mayor of a small town in Texas who stepped down from her job after she had abducted somebody's dog? Her neighbor had left the dog with her. The dog was named Puddles.
Puddles.
The mayor had taken the dog away from that family, renamed it Panchito.
Oh, yeah.
Puddles Gate.
Panchito.
And then,
Panchito
you know,
Gate.
Got yep. caught. And apparently she argued that the couple that she took him from wasn't taking good care of the dog. So she was really rescuing this dog from harm. Anyway, so that was the story back in February. The story now is she's had to give the dog back. So Panchito, a.k.a. Puddles, is now reunited with his original family.
Now, a court ruled that, correct?
Yes.
I was just thinking, if this goes all the way up to the Supreme Court, we might hear Nina Totenberg do this report. Justice Souter, here Puddles. Justice Alito, here Panchito. Chief Justice Roberts, let the record show that Justice Alito has lined his robe with jerky. I hope we hear that report.
I hope so, too.
Any word of an appeal?
Well, actually, she's still, the mayor still faces some felony counts of tampering with evidence, concealing evidence. So she's got to go to court again on Tuesday.
Jeannie, what you got?
All right. Most emailed on the LA Times, Miley Cyrus, the star of the Disney hit show Hannah Montana, has gotten herself in a little bit of trouble. It might not sound like much to you and me. There's a picture where she's kind of pulling down her tank top just a little bit. You see a lacy green bra. There's another photo where she's sort of lounging on a boy her own age. But
just
this,
about an inch of bra shows.
Yeah,
it's very
I don't find it that
mild.
Offensive.
Especially when we're used to scandals of a different order of magnitude. But this squeaky clean image of Hannah Montana doesn't match these photos. Apparently there's been some uproar in the blogosphere. Some fans are rallying behind her. They're saying the pictures are fakes. They say people are just jealous of Miley. Others are sort of taking a more lewd interest, like, ooh, she's grown up fast. And then there's some, you know, folks saying this is a betrayal of our young viewers.
And you know what it gets down to? Cold hard cash. Because what was the most interesting thing about this story? This industry, the Miley Cyrus.
The Hannah Montana franchise.
I'm getting right there.
Oh, sorry, Jeannie.
I'm getting right there. Disney, who's making, estimated to make $1 billion off the franchise and all kinds of little retail side things, and Hannah's making $18 million, is standing by her. They say... Where is it right here? Above all, Miley is a bright and talented young lady who appreciates and understands the trust that kids and parents have in her, so they think their investment is safe.
Right. Billions. They said, we stand by our cash cow. I mean Hannah.
That's right.
Dan.
Billions.
Hi, Dan.
Billions. Hey, how are you? Most emailed from Yahoo News, Penguin's wetsuit puts him back in the swim of things. Get it? Interesting story here about a penguin named Pierre out
is
in California.
Interesting?
I think it is interesting. Yes, Rachel. I find it quite interesting. I'm sorry if you don't.
She doesn't like her animals wearing wetsuits.
Rachel, how old do you think that a regular penguin lives to be? Roughly.
I'm going to guess. I don't know if they're like penguin years. I'm going to say 10.
20. Roughly 20 wow. years a penguin lives, and this penguin, Pierre, is now a venerable 25 years old. So he's the elder statesman in this facility, and he's actually going bald, and he's losing his penguin feathers. And that's a big problem for a penguin, because penguins don't have blubber to keep them warm like other marine mammals. They rely on their waterproof feathers.
They're not a mammal. They're a bird.
Unlike... marine mammals, they
right.
don't have blubber.
Good.
Okay, so... Penguins rely on their feathers. This penguin's going bald. He's sitting outside the pool, shivering his butt off. Very scared. Can't go in the water. He's cold. They gave him a wetsuit. They especially made wetsuit for a penguin. He was back in the water, back to alpha male status, and actually he started growing some of his feathers back, and they're going to wean him off the wetsuit.
Right, that was great. Totally interesting. I take back my sarcastic.
Pierre's back in full force.
I have the New York Post in front of me right here, and look how cute he is.
Oh, he's cute.
Well, look at that photo. The penguin, I don't know if we could show it to the camera, he's actually dipping his wetsuit down, and you see some of his bra.
Yeah.
That, I thought, was
actually,
uncalled for.
If you couldn't see it there, then if you can't see it there, then we'll go ahead and put it up on the blog. Later on.
All right, I have the second most emailed story from the Dallas Morning News covering a local business that affects us all. Frito-Lay hikes prices, puts less food in packages because commodity prices are going through the roof. They've raised prices, but they also do that thing that we all love, pouring up to 1 ounce less food into each bag. So
how many less chips can be in the bag?
Exactly.
It's already
mostly
air.
They're just going to have to start marketing it as bag of air, and
it's
you might
like
get a
negative
chip.
Fewer chips.
Fewer chips.
Yeah, well, yeah. To appeal to the common man, I think they got to just call it bag of air, fewer chips.
Yeah.
And Matt Martinez is here to bring us somewhere special.
Yes, I'm going to take you straight to Africa. One of the most emailed at npr.org right now is headlined, Kenyan boy tries to live up to presidential name. This is really interesting. It's popular in Kenya to name children after people in the headline. So there are a whole bunch of kids named John Kennedy, Winston Churchill, Kofi Annan. Kids are being named now. Wolf Blitzer.
No.
I'm kidding.
That's a lie.
I made that one up. Well, NPR's Gwen Tompkins
filed. They've named someone Gwen.
No.
I got that wrong.
NPR's Gwen Tompkins filed a report on a kid in Nairobi whose name was literally ripped from the headlines.
In Kenya, as everywhere, the name is the thing. That's why Karen Achieng Okumu thought and thought about what she wanted to call her third child. It was 1997. This was an unexpected pregnancy for her and her husband, and she just knew it would be a boy. Karen Okumu wanted a name with some miles on it, something roadworthy like a good Buick. But she also wanted something with a future. So for those reasons and a few others, Karen Okumu brought yet another child into this world called
Bill Clinton.
That's right, Bill Clinton. Or more specifically,
Bill Clinton Okumu.
And surprise, surprise, guess what Bill Clinton wants to be when he grows up?
I want to be a president.
He wants to be president of Kenya. And at 11 years old, his options seem limitless. He's good looking, he's got a nice smile, and a lovely personality. Maybe Karen Okumu was something of a mensch. Maybe by strength of personality, she willed this child to be a son of destiny. But not necessarily a Democrat. The boy's father, Michael Marungu, is a school teacher. He says his wife would have named the boy George Bush or Herbert Hoover or even Calvin Coolidge if the timing was right.
There was no particular attachment. There was nothing like that. It was just associating herself with the president of America, not knowing that there would be another president in the next few years. But at that time, the president was Bill Clinton.
maybe certain names really do make people ambitious. Between 1893 and 1896, fully 11 members of the U.S. Congress were called George Washington something or another. Their mothers probably wanted them to be president, too.
It has really given him some light. Actually, he's very bright. When people just hear that he's called Bill, they just associate him with a very different person, not just a simple man.
Here in Nairobi, Bill Clinton's two brothers are deferring to his quest for the presidency. His older brother, Boniface, is 16. He says he wouldn't dream of dreaming to be president because that's where Bill Clinton is headed.
I know he can do it. He's courageous, he's humble and polite, and he's academic.
Bill Clinton's other brother, Jason, is 13 years old, and he wants to be a soccer star, which, come to think of it, might make him more famous than being president. The family is ensconced in one of those neighborhoods that would make an important point of reference on the campaign trail. Bill Clinton lives, as most black people in Nairobi do, in a slum area, muddy and crowded and loud. It's an all too common phenomenon in Kenya, where there's an embarrassment of pretty houses and charming bungalows for expatriates and the homegrown elite, but few options for the Kenyan professional whose salary can't compete. The neighborhood is called Ruruta Satellite, and for all intents and purposes, it's a place called hope. As president, Bill Clinton has a plan.
I would help other people who are needy and give the people who don't have houses. I make houses for them and build the country to be good so that people cannot make chaos.
So Bill Clinton wants to make a better tomorrow. But right now, he's got to finish the fifth grade. His mother would want that. Karen Akumu died 3 years ago. Who knows what made her pull that particular name out of the ether for this particular boy. But in Bill Clinton, Karen Achang Okumu somehow made a name for herself, too. Without ever meeting her, we know that she was interesting and funny and ambitious. She speaks somehow from beyond the grave, and that makes her the ultimate comeback kid.
NPR's Gwen Tompkins reporting from Nairobi, Kenya. There are links to this and all the stories you heard on the most at our website, npr.org.